Customization, transparency, profit. The HedgeBetter sports betting platform is a revolutionary concept that creates a competitive advantage for every party involved in the sports betting process. We are putting the odds in your hands, cutting out the middleman, and empowering a future generation of sports bettors. Look for the HedgeBetter sports betting platform coming in 2023. In the meantime, visit us at www.hedgebetter.com, follow us on Instagram at HedgeBetter, and subscribe to the HedgeBetter YouTube channel.
What's up, Steel and Nazzers? We got episode 80 here. Steel and Naz, no Steel or Naz, but we got Showtime, we got Magic.
Boom!
This might be a new thing we do.
Yeah, hey, we might throw this in every now and then. Showtime Magic might have its own Magic Mike Minute spinoff.
Yeah, yeah, we're growing. And this week we got a big interview. Just me and Showtime are on it with, who do we have?
Tommy Guarino, TV online personality.
Yes, big time rising up in the TikTok social media sphere. If you don't know the name, you're going to know the name. We got into a lot of good stuff with them.
Yeah, talk about his future projects coming out, whether that be the Kings of Combat commentator, the social media kind of like personality talent agency they're trying to have come up right now, all his new deals with Dunkin' Donuts. That was a good little
The guy's making moves, a lot
yeah,
of
guy's
moves.
The guy's making moves. He's very driven. He's very passionate.
He's going to be a household name of Boston, no
100%.
Doubt. 100%. No doubt, so. Enjoy this interview. He was great. Very humble kid. Let's get into it.
Without further ado, Tommy Guarino. And welcome here to Steel and Naz, presented by HedgeBetter at Hedgequarters in Braintree. We've got a Showtime Magic interview here with the Boston legend, Tommy Guarino. TikTok Tommy himself. Tommy, how's it going?
I hate to be the guy, but it's Guarino. But it's all good.
What did I say? Guarino?
Guarino. It's all right. It happens all the time.
You got to get that right before we start recording.
Yeah, it's your boy Tommy here. Familiar face at the Hedgequarters, but I'm on a different podcast still. And as it's great to be here. I heard a lot about you guys, so yep. I'm excited to talk
things.
A little bit. All good things, yeah. I know you guys are pretty seasoned we just talked about you guys have been doing this for 3 years, which is pretty impressive. I really only got into the podcast game the last few months, so I'm kind of a rookie compared to you guys.
What do you think of it? I've heard you guys do a few Mass Appeals. You and Mark are good. Shout out Mass Appeal podcast.
Yeah. Shout out Mass Appeal. That was good. That was a kind of an idea we came up with together. We did a few episodes together, and then I just had a bunch of other shit going on, so he just took that over, and then whenever I have time, I come in to talk. But I like the podcasting. It's cool. It's a different avenue I wanted to go down for content. Obviously, with social media, you can do fucking everything, so I definitely wanted to try it out, and it's good. I just haven't really had enough time to keep coming on, but I definitely want to do a consistent show down the line.
And that's how I kind of feel with podcasting, too, because I feel like the main part of it for me and, like, what's exciting about it is you can do it independently. So I want to get to a point where I have, like, a mobile setup where I can do it anywhere. So same thing, like, when you're like, oh, I don't have time for it, I want to just, like, record almost all the time. Just, like,
I think
doing throwing small stuff.
Like, even seeing you guys do the live show, like, that must have been pretty sick.
Yeah, live shows cool, is great.
That was, like, a top. Like, out of the 3 years, that was up there.
That was like
we felt like, it felt like a fucking concert, kind of.
Yeah, and I think it would be cool if you, like you said, a mobile setup, you can literally set up anywhere. Like, I think it'd be dope to do it, like, outside a sporting event or something, like pre-game brewing shit.
Right.
But, like, set it up, like, on Causeway somewhere. Yeah. I don't
just,
think
like, have,
legal,
like, a mobile van with, like, a sliding door.
That'd
like
be unbelievable.
Van. That'd be sick.
Interview fans and shit. That'd be dope. But, yeah, no, podcasting's sick. I think it's not, like, just it's like you have a normal conversation, but it's completely different when you have the headphones on and you're in the studio.
Yeah.
Like, I know the first time we did Mass Appeal, the first couple times, it was, like, not daunting. Like, it was fine, like, once we got into it. But, like, even just sitting in here and, like, all the lights are on you and the cameras, it's like, all right, this is kind of a little pressure on me, but it's not bad. I'm used to it now, but I definitely want to keep it going.
I definitely agree, because when I started coming on for podcasts, and Magic Mike brought me on, we used to do just the Magic Mike Minute. Which
this
is
Magic,
like,
Mike?
This is Magic Mike.
I should have been, yeah, I didn't even introduce myself.
Magic Mike. Good Showtime. So we would do the Magic Mike Minute, so it'd just be like a sporadic, like, kind of skit kind of type feel, like kind of what you do for years. And then that transitioned to coming on in front of the camera full time, and you'd be having this natural, organic conversation, and then as soon as the cameras go on, they go live action, everyone freezes up. You just like almost forget about what you're going to talk about, or you get like nervous. Or
it's hard too. Like even like I have trouble with it still, is like talking over people. You got to be careful not to talk over others, and like you don't realize like how bad your conversation skills are until you get on the mic and start talking. So, but it's a learning process.
We had these martini dudes on last week too, and we were definitely, some of us, I was buzzed up and like, ooh, they're already a loud kind of crew too, and they're, I mean, there was some talking over each other.
That's the best, though, when you're flowing with
it. It was good. Oh, yeah. We were definitely flowing.
Yeah. I love how you were trying to explain that. You were like, we were, I was shit faced.
but that makes for some of the best content.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Those guys are, shout out to Mr. Martini Boys. Those guys are lively. I ended up seeing them this weekend at Fat Baby. So
that's awesome.
They always have fun.
So what do they do? I don't want to get too much into it.
Yeah, literally, like, they do what Portnoy does with pizza, but with espresso martinis, and they like every day. They're out,
really?
And it. You would think they're maybe that wouldn't like be that good, company. But it's entertaining. They're a funny crew.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the main thing, right? Even with Portnoy, like how many different pizza reviews can you do? But he keeps it entertaining, so that's the main thing.
If I was saying, that, like I have to watch a pizza review with dinner. Like it makes my dinner a little bit better.
If
5 minutes,
if they have that creativity, then you got it down pat.
Now, what I like from podcasting too is watching yourself.
Me too.
Because it's like hypercritical of like your skills. Definitely. And your communication. Same thing, talking over each other. Same thing. Headphones also help out because I can like hear you in my ear. Yeah. Like,
this is
like,
dude,
shut
up. Like right now, I just talked over you again.
Yeah, like, just like
I'm
quick.
Like, you think too much. Like,
don't
it's,
overthink
it's a,
it.
It's a whole different experience when you have the headphones.
What about like you with like creativity and like just starting with making videos? Like,
yeah. I'll get into it a little.
Yeah, so how did it start?
So, you know, I'm from East Boston, so I'll give a quick intro. Born and raised in East Boston. I still live at home in the same triple decker my grandmother bought back in
1970s?
The 80s, I think. Early 80s. My father grew up there. His brothers grew up there. I'm from Eastie. I was never a social media guy. Like, I'm sure you guys can relate. Like, I would post once a month with my boys that had, like, 400 followers, you know, like, but I was never, like, posting on social media because in Boston, especially, like, no one is a content creator, you know? Like, it's not really a big or a natural thing to do when you're from here. So when the whole pandemic happened, the world shut down, obviously. I know you guys were saying you were doing your podcast still. Is that me?
It's all good. It's all good.
It's all good. Hey, here. Hey, here.
Sorry. What's the password for your laptop?
You gotta go over there.
Oh, it's good.
You remember it?
No, I don't.
He's given.
You're literally doing everyone, that to the camera. Everyone
on YouTube is going to hack it.
I'll change my password.
Run over it.
I've already been hacked this week on Instagram. Did you see this?
No.
I got hacked on Instagram.
Were you posting like Bitcoin shit?
Yeah, exactly.
Run over and tell.
My password's LMAO.
Yeah, you're going to have to change that.
You knew that.
Numbers, not letters.
No, I was going L, M.
My bad, didn't mean to interrupt.
You're good. No, I'll change that later.
Yeah, he got the old, someone was like, I invested with Shelby and made 10 grand. Yeah. You got hacked too, fake account.
Yeah, not hacked, but I had, I did a Bruins ticket giveaway, and I had people making fake accounts. Like, it was like Tommy Guarino, but it had like two N's in my name. And they got up to like 500 followers, some of them. And like, they were like, yo, DM me this, download this app, and like, we'll give you tickets. I don't want to get too into it, but it was like, dude, a lot of people, I got like 1,000 DMs about it. Like, yo, someone's hacking you. Like, is this real? I'm like, no, please don't do that. So many people were like, oh, I did it. And I'm like, come on, bro. Like, have more common sense.
Yeah,
like, are people really going to give you free Brewers tickets for downloading a fucking, you know,
you know who's funny?
App?
Greg hit me up. He's like, I think I won those tickets from Tommy.
Oh my God, poor kid. Simsy, I'm sorry if you're listening to this.
Yeah, me and Tommy have a mutual friend, Greg. Me and Tommy met through playing hockey. And then same thing, like when you started blowing up on TikTok
right.
In the beginning of it, I didn't know that you were even making content at the time. Because like we would like shoot the shit randomly,
but
not have like full-on conversations. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good segue into it because I think that was around the time when I first started skating with you guys in Quincy. Like around the time I started to blow up because that was fall 2020 or like fall, winter
yep.
2020. And so basically pandemic happened, world shut down. Everyone downloaded TikTok. I feel like, well, at least I did and my friends and downloaded it. I would scroll on it. I never really posted. And I think it was September 2020. It was because I remember like this was like, I mean, it obviously changed my life. So I remember exactly when it was. I was leaving the gym. I was on my way home on my street, and I always wanted to post, but like, you know how it is, like people, you know, talk shit or like, you know, if you're new to it, it's completely different. Cause I'm like, I never did this before. TikTok's this little fucking kids app. I don't want to post on this, but I was like, all right, I have a funny thought. Like I'll post. So I watch this video back. I still have it on my TikTok and I look at it sometimes and it's like, I cringe at it. Cause it's just like, I'm so much more comfortable in front of cameras now, but in the moment I wasn't, but I was just literally talking into the camera, but I was just sharing a relatable thought, which was, when people claim to be from Boston, but they're not from Boston, you know, they're from the suburbs or something. So I literally made a, like a minute long video talking about it and it like blew up. It got like 100,000 views. I had like so many comments on it, like people loving it. But like, obviously you have some people like, oh, you're probably not even from the city. You're probably from like Wakefield, like just stupid shit. So I was like, oh, this is cool. But like, you know, there's obviously two sides to everything. But I was like, all right, let's just keep it rolling. People seem to like it. It was a lot more pros than cons. So I was like, fuck it, I'll keep doing it. So from that point on, I just kept making videos about like relatable Boston shit. And then I think the first skits that I did, because that's kind of what I'm known for now, is like the short form skits, was the hockey ones. So I did like, I played hockey my whole life and I actually was playing for UMass Boston at the time. I walked on to UMass Boston as a backup goalie because I knew the captain, they needed an extra guy, and I tried out and it worked out. But I walked on to UMass Boston, so I was always around hockey guys my whole life. But being around college hockey guys is completely different because, you know, I played for East Boston High. So, you know, we're not really talking like, you know, the Canadian hockey guys.
I was going to say, where'd you pick up that accent? Because you nail it. You really do. Like the beauty, the pit. Like, well,
you're a fucking beauty, buddy. Like, but playing college, because like kids are from everywhere, you know, like no one from UMass Boston that plays at UMass Boston is really from the city. Yep. So I was playing with kids from Canada, from California, Florida, and they're all great guys, but they all talk the same exact way.
So same lingo.
I picked up on it quick, and I just started making like the hockey banter videos, kind of making fun of it. But like, you know, nothing like saying like, you know, fuck hockey guys, but it was just a funny, relatable thing. So I made a skit, and it was like hockey guy introduced himself on a Zoom call because like all the classes were on Zoom. And it was like, hey, what's up? Name's Mitzi. I'm a third line beauty. And like, it was like, it blew up because people were like, this is so relatable. Like, there's a guy in my finance class that's exactly like this. Yeah. And like, that blew me up even more. So I kept doing the hockey videos, and then that kind of transformed into the Boston dad videos. So those really blew my account up too. So I was doing a lot of like Massachusetts, Boston niche shit, and then also like the hockey niche stuff. So I was going back and forth on both, and they were both blowing up simultaneously. And I did that for a good amount of time. I kind of transformed the content into like different Boston skits and, you know, frat boy stuff. And within a year, I amassed 1 million followers. I think I hit the 1 million mark August of 2021. So less than a year. And it was just skits. Like it was just the short form skits and I was having fun with it. I wasn't doing anything business wise. I was still in college, UMass Boston, but we were online. I wasn't on campus. So when fall 2021 happened, I was already like well known in Boston for doing it. And like that summer I would go out to the bars. Like I get recognized like, yo, you're the guy, you're the guy. And it's always positive shit. Like no one's ever going to say negative shit to you in person. But when I went on campus to UMass, because I was in school until last semester. So fall 2021, I was at school and on campus, it was like, I got recognized everywhere in class, like walking to class. And it was crazy, but you know, I'm a very, and people get surprised by this. I'm honestly a very like introverted person. I would say I'm like a introverted extrovert because like I can have a conversation with you guys one-on-one or whatever. But in big social settings, I kind of get uncomfortable sometimes. I mean, I've gotten used to it now. But when it first happened, it was like, oh, this is overwhelming. You know, I have all these people coming up to me, like trying to talk to me. And some people come off kind of passive aggressive. I don't know if they mean to, but like they come up to me and say, hey, do the accent, do this, do that. And I'm like, I'm not a fucking puppet, you know, like, but for the most part, everyone's cool. I never had any like crazy altercations or anything, but it was a crazy experience. And I think I got pretty used to it over the last 6 months. So it's normal to me now. And I appreciate everyone that watches and supports me, but you know, it was definitely a shock when I first started like saw a mass amount of people like out in public coming up to me. Cause I'm like, holy shit. Like I really do have 1 million people watching
me.
That's
a big number.
Yeah.
It's not like fucking 50K here. A milli is a milli.
But think about it. Like when I'm doing this and I'm blowing up in quarantine, I'm not seeing people. So it's like, oh, like I have 1 million followers, but who knows? Like maybe I'm not going to see them in public. Yeah. Like I don't fucking know. I don't even remember the first time that I got noticed in public. It had to be probably like maybe springtime of 2021. Cause I hit like 500K like before that summer. But I remember that summer is when I fucking started doing the Boston Dad videos, and those really blew me up. I was getting like 5-10 million views on those. So I went from like 500K to like a million legit within like a month and a half, which is nuts. So crazy growth. I partnered with this alcohol company, Vodkite, shout out Vodkite. And that was kind of my first business partnership with TikTok. And that's kind of when I saw like, oh shit, like you can make some money off of this. And meanwhile, you know, I'm a senior at UMass Boston that last fall semester. And I switched my major like four times. I was in like criminal justice, then I was in business, then exercise and health. And then I switched to communications that fall. Cause I was like, all right, this is kind of social media like ish. And I was really just in college because I just wanted to prove to my parents I wasn't a bum, honestly. But like at the end of the day, my parents just want me to be okay. Like they don't care what I do. Yep. And everyone, you know, pushes college. Like you got to go to college. You got to do this. You got to do that. And that's all fine and good. Like college is a great route to take. Going to the union is a great route to take. But it really opened up my eyes to the world when I saw like, holy fuck, like I can make money from my phone and being a social media personality. Because, you know, who really paved the way for that hair. Like there's not many people. Think about like the big people that came out of Boston. You have, you know, the Wahlbergs, obviously, Ben Affleck, Bill Burr, Matt Damon, Casey Affleck, but they're all Hollywood now, you know, no one's actually in the city doing this, obviously Portnoy, but no one's in the city. So
no even one, him to an extent, I feel yeah. like he doesn't do enough, like coming mm-hmm. back to this area. He's building all these places, yeah, we'll these bars in Philly and Chicago. So, mm-hmm.
and like, TikTok, especially TikTok's so new that no one in Boston ever did TikTok. And I feel like still even now, like I have my own avenue that no one really is doing the same content as
They'd
me.
They'd have to be copying you at this point, which never really goes too well.
Yeah, yeah, which is fine. Like I don't mind if people hit me up and like, yo, you inspire me to do this video, because it's happened a lot.
I'm sure.
And I've worked with some people that have started doing videos because of me, which is like so cool. But no one, like I feel like I've kind of like leveled myself up from that point. And I'm such a humble person that I love to help other people out. I love to work in teams. So to fucking have someone come up to me and say, hey, like, because you did this, like, I wanted to start making videos is like such a cool, undescribable feeling. And I think that's my favorite part about doing content is like talking to people and, you know, people that support me, obviously. And they're like, yo, like you make me laugh. Like your shit is hilarious. Like I go to your page just to laugh every day. Like that's fucking, that's such a good feeling.
I do fucking die laughing at your pages sometimes. Sometimes it, like, same thing. You're on TikTok, you're scrolling. I'll go to your pages. Right. I'll fucking roll through and like you scroll through, and then like, yeah.
Yeah. It's hard too, because me personally, and I think a lot of people are like this, it's hard to really like find a video that makes you laugh.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, even to me, like if I find a video that genuinely makes me laugh, I give kudos. Like sometimes I'll message the person like, yo, like you're fucking hilarious. Cause
I agree.
Most of the shit on social media can be cringy. And like some people even probably find my stuff cringy, and that's fine. People have different senses of humor, but when I can find a genuinely funny person, like that's rare. And like to have people tell me that I am, it's like, that's a sick thing to hear from someone else.
How long does it like take you to come up with these skits? Like, are you constantly like writing in a journal, like every idea, like since yeah. you're doing these niche, you know, boss and dad, but you have to do that video like 50 times, 50 different, however yeah. many times, that
yeah,
many
so
different ways.
Up until like recently, I'd say probably the last few months, I wasn't writing shit down. I would just like come up with shit every day. Like I didn't have a posting schedule. I would post every day, but every day I would block out a couple hours just to do videos. But in terms of like the skits, like even now, like I don't have a journal of like 100 ideas. Like I'll kind of just take week by week. Like I'll think of shit, I'll write it down, and then I'll do it. Mm-hmm. But most of the stuff is like improv and like on the spot. Like luckily I have a good like group around me, and I have some people that like to film with me that enjoy doing the same shit. So we'll just like get together and just think of shit on the spot.
Yeah.
Like this kid, Jake Scally, I found on TikTok. I was telling you a little bit about him. He's a genuinely funny person, and he's just one of those kids that doesn't really, you could tell he doesn't really know how to use TikTok, but he's funny. And I saw him on my For You page. He's from Winthrop. He grew up in Charlestown, but he's a little older than me. And I noticed he's just like genuinely funny, but he doesn't really know how to do the skits. So I reached out to him. I'm like, yo, like you're funny. Like we should do some shit together. And he only had like 1,000 followers, and he was like, oh shit, bro, really? Like, cool. So we got together, and now like we're doing like a series right now called like the sketchy uncle, and he's like, he plays like Uncle Dino, and he's like, just like,
is he the uncle? Yeah.
He's like the sketchy uncle, so like he plays it so fucking good, and it's relatable, and that just proves like you don't need a big following to like be funny, you know? Like I noticed him when he had 1,000 followers. He's already almost up to like 7-8K now because he's been working with me. So we just make funny shit together. He's helping me grow too. So it's kind of just like adapting and evolving, you know?
And we, sorry to cut you off. Good. And we talked about it too with like how you like, you're trying to build the community of like the either like content producers or just like people to put stuff out there. Like you said, with a small following like that, a lot of people from this area won't post shit. And we do have such quick-witted, funny people that we hang around. Like, we probably know 25 people in our life that could be professional comedians that will literally never step on foot to a stage just from being from this area. Just, like, the environment we grew up in. So, like, it's good to have those people to inspire and, like, bring out the best in them and, like, kind of get them out of their shell. So,
yeah, dude. And like, you know how it is. Like, I mean, it's what I base my content off of, you know, growing up in Boston. Like, it's unique. You know, people love to hear the Boston comedy, but to get in front of a camera, make a skit and post it for millions of people to see, like, that takes, you know, it's hard. And like, I never realized that that's like kind of a talent I have where I don't mind what people, I care what people think about me, but I'm not to the point where I'm like not going to post something because I'm scared of a mean comment, you know? And I think a lot of my buddies are fucking hilarious. I went to East Boston High. I grew up in the city. So around so many people, whether it's the East Boston kids, Charlestown, Quincy kids, like people are fucking hilarious and they just don't want to take that step or they don't feel the urge to, which is fine. But I guess that's kind of what I highlight in my content. Like it's kind of just a parade of everything I've experienced my whole life. And that kind of gives me never ending content. And people
that's
always
like why it's so relatable.
Yeah. And people always are like asking me, oh, like I've had a few people ask me, oh, are you scared? Like you're ever going to like, you know, not have any inspiration for content or like you're going to run out of ideas. And I'm like, no, because my family's fucking nuts and my friends are nuts and I have inspiration every fucking day. Like a new thing happens every fucking day for me to like make a video. So I eventually want to evolve into different things like the Boston comedy and the, you know, the hockey stuff, all that, that eventually hits its ceiling. And I think I'm getting close to that, but there's different ways to go down different paths with it. But I definitely want to evolve into like more of a personality where I'm just coming on and talking to you guys where you can see I'm not just like a psychotic kid from Boston. Like you see in my skits, like I definitely had that Boston persona, but I'm not fucking, you know,
Jimmy.
Yeah. I'm not like, hey, Jimmy, you fucking cocksucker. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's not me, but I can highlight that and play up to that
that's
fucking.
It almost feels like movies are like, directing is like a direct.
I was gonna say
you can do characters like that, and you're already writing these skits and whatnot.
Are you keeping your eye on acting, or like taking any steps to like doing any auditions or anything?
Yeah.
Like that?
So recently, we started like a YouTube series called The Boston Cream. That's on my YouTube. If you guys want to check it out, I paired up with this dude, Johnny Hickey. He's a director. He directed Oxymorons. I think it was 10 years ago. He directed another movie, but he's back and forth from LA, and we connected. He actually came up here for an interview and I connected with him because of that. And he was interested in working with content creators. So he's older. He's like in his 30s, but we kind of paired up and came up with this idea of the Boston Cream, which is like, if you've watched Entourage or like Jay Fine actually highlighted this too, the Real Bros of Simi Valley, like they play up to the stereotypes of dudes living in California. And I'm like, why can't we just have reoccurring characters of people playing up to the Boston comedy, the Boston stereotypes, because people love my skits, so why don't we just make a like longer form content out of it? So we have like a few episodes up on YouTube of that. That's kind of like where I learned, you know, screenwriting, acting, and directing is like, you know, it's huge for something like that because you can't just come up on the spot for like a 30-second skit. It's like a 5-6 minute thing where like you have to play out the plot and the ending, and you know, you gotta have
taking scenes.
Yeah, you gotta have a structured thing. So that I enjoy that a lot. Like I enjoy like writing scripts, screenwriting. I enjoy acting. If an opportunity ever came about where a director was like, hey, I want to use you in this film, or like, I want you to act, like I would 100% do it. I've never took the step to audition for anything. I don't know if that's my true passion, but I definitely do enjoy acting. But again, like I said, I'm trying to just dip my toes in different waters, like podcasting, the skits, long form content. Me and you were talking about this earlier. I'm forming like a talent group in Boston right now. It's in the early stages, but we're launching it soon where it's more of just a collaborative space for creators around the area. We have like, I think 15 or 16 talent signed right now to us. And it's more of like a management / collaborative group type thing where people can make content just focused on the Boston area though. Like we don't want to venture out of Massachusetts yet just because I feel like it's so untapped here, the social space. I mean, if you think about it, in New York, LA, they have their guys, like it's already tapped into, but no one here is really doing social media stuff, if you think about it.
Right,
so
you think of LA, you have like an image of the top 10 creators right. out there. Like, you don't imagine that.
But right,
like,
exactly.
Build the Mount Rushmore,
and
basically.
They all work together, too.
Exactly.
Okay, so you're doing a good job of connecting, like, that one guy that is struggling right. to figure out how to get to your level, and now he might have a shot.
And that's the main thing I've really learned the last year is network is so invaluable, having a network, and you know the right people, things fall into your lap. So what I'm trying to do is build a network for these creators to come directly into, where you have people in the same area as you to go work with if you want. So that's kind of our goal with that. I won't speak too much on it just because we're in the early stages of it, but that'll be that's something to look out for like a long-term thing. But I'm excited because networking has brought me to a whole nother level the last few months. Certain things have fallen into my lap, which has been great. But yeah, that's the main thing I've learned is a network could be your net worth, you know?
100%. You know, the only thing envisioning when I think about that idea, I'm seeing like a Southie like content house, like right on Broadway, like every night Southie going to Lincoln. You know,
Didn't they make that show or something?
Yeah. I heard yeah. Actually, it's funny because I had a lady reach out to me yesterday, actually, or 2 days ago. I got a random email from like a casting producer. They're based in like LA. I think it's called like Renegade 83 Studios or something. But she reached out to me and she was like, "Hey, like, I'm a casting producer. Like, can we hop on a phone call?" I was like, "Sure, why not? Whatever." And they're essentially looking to build a show. It's kind of like a Jersey Shore, but based in Boston, a Boston people. So, which would be fucking crazy, because that's kind of like what you said. It's like a Southie content house, you know. But I mean, we're gonna see.
You gotta make sure it's real fucking Boston,
right? That's the thing. It takes a lot to build a show like that, and I think they're gonna try. But if they get the right people, that could be a fucking hit. Because just imagine like a group of fucking townies or Southie or Eastie kids going out into the city, like, and it's just a reality crew documenting it. That shit could blow the fuck up.
Of course, yeah. I mean, same thing like with Jersey Shore. If they didn't get those right people for Jersey Shore, like, that show maybe isn't as good. Like,
and
they got the right people for that, for sure.
It makes you appreciate like the back end people, the behind the scenes people on Jersey Shore, because to acquire that talent and the hit, and like, those people are all celebrities now. Everyone that was on that show was a celebrity
individually
now.
Too, like individually. In their own way.
Mm-hmm. And it's
maybe minus Ronnie and. No, he still is. He still is.
Hey, Ronnie and Sam have one of the most iconic relationships.
You could say they made that show. If they didn't have those two, they might not have been nearly as successful as they were.
I agree with that.
I just don't know what Ronnie or Sammy's doing now. But I mean, I guarantee they still get recognized everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And they're huge. So I don't know. That's another long-term play. I don't know if that'll play out, because obviously a lot goes into making a TV show. But like, that's something interesting that came from me. But in terms of what I'm doing with the talent group I'm trying to form, is it's not just creators either. Like, we have some athletes, like we have a BC football kid. We want to get artists, like anyone, fucking actors, creators, and just have the most influential people in the area together. And whatever happens, happens, you know. I want to urge people to collaborate and, you know, different audiences exposed to different things, because that's only going to help you grow, you know.
So if you've ever had that creative bug bite you, or feel like ever,
yeah, how do you get signed to this?
So we have a whole team behind us. So we have a team of like 7-8 people. I'm not on that. Like, I have agents working for me that kind of deal with the contract stuff. I have a good team around me personally that kind of handle my contracts, my negotiations, because I'm not a business savvy person yet. I'm learning every day. Again, I'm 22. Like, I'm still new to the content space. So I like to focus just directly on the content and networking with people. Mm-hmm. In terms of the back end stuff, like I said, I have people helping me out. So we'll see what happens. I mean, to get signed, I would say, number one, it just starts with connecting, you know. Like, we reached out to a bunch of people. A lot of people were interested, and we set up like Zoom calls, and we met everyone and saw who was interested in it. And I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer, because the way we set it up is like, no one's going to be signed long term with us. It's kind of a thing where like, you can do it if you want. If you sign, you can still get out of the contract easily. We set it up that way. Because the way I looked at it was like, it's a space for creators by a creator, because I'm a creator myself. So I know how it is to deal with companies and businesses that want to sign you on for long term and not give you anything out of it. Like, that's just the name of the game. That's business. You know, you want to, you want to fucking, you want to get as much out of someone and give as little, you know, that's just how businesses work.
I mean, that's like kind of what the UFC is getting in trouble for right now. Like these guys are locked in, like Shogun Hua, he just fought the other night. I think he still has another fight left on his contract. He's like 48 years old.
It's
like,
insane, dude.
And he has to fight.
The whole Ngannou thing, like he wants to leave, but he's
boxing,
like, it's crazy how much like those boxers get paid and then see how much the UFC fighters get paid. But like, that's, I mean, that's a good, like, a good parallel to kind of what we're doing. I want to put the power back in like the creators or the talent's hands, if that makes sense. So I think it's going to be good. Again, that's something that we're going to announce probably a month or two, but I'm excited for it. It's going to be a game changer.
A good segue in boxing and something being announced. I heard you're going to be maybe the commentator for the Kings of Combat match coming up July.
Yeah, I'm pumped for it. Jay Fine really, he really got something with this and I'm excited. Yeah, so we're going to be, I talked to Jay Fine a little bit about it, but that's on in what, July? July 16th, I think?
16th?
Big day.
So, Jay Fine, we were just shooting the shit about it, and I was just asking him questions because I was curious. Obviously, it's a fight promotion. There's going to be, you know, exhibition and pro fights, and I was like, oh, it'd be funny if, like, I commentated. Just kind of, like, saying it as a joke, but then I was like, oh, wait, I actually would like to do that because, like, that, again, that's a whole other avenue I could go down because I'm just trying to try different things out and see what I want to do because the hardest thing for me to answer to people is like, what do you want to do a year from now, 2 years from now? And I'm like, whatever falls into my lap
brings to me. And I feel that like I'm kind of a go with the wind, whatever like comes to you and like what you put in, same thing, whatever energy and work you're putting in is what you get back in return. So good things come to good people.
I'm a very spontaneous person. So I'm open to doing, and I believe in saying yes to every opportunity, you know, because if I didn't say yes to some opportunities a year ago, I wouldn't be where I'm at now, just making relationships with people. Because like I said, back to the network thing, relationships are the number one thing if you want to be successful. You know, if you build a good relationship with someone a year ago and then something comes across their desk where, hey, you'd be a good fit for this, I like this guy, he's a genuinely good person, like you're going to be on the top of their list. So that's the main thing I want to get across to businesses or anyone I work with is, hey, I'm a genuinely like good person. You know, I'm not trying to fuck anyone. I'm not here for me. Like, I want to provide value to you, and whatever I can help you with and you can help me with, like, let's fucking do it. That's my fucking mindset on everything.
Very mature for a 22-year-old with a million.
Honestly,
it's impressive.
When I found out your age, I was actually shocked too. Like, even when I first met you, I was like
thinking 22-year-olds, you know, I mean, I don't even really, I'm fucking 30.
I don't
hang out.
So you're even 20.
I feel like you're a 30-year-old right now, the way you're talking.
Thank you.
Impressive.
I don't know. I guess I could, I was always a young one out of my group, you know. All my group of friends are older than me. I'm the youngest. And I have an older brother and older sister. My sister's 32, my brother's 35, so I'm the baby. So I've always been around older people my whole life, and I think, like, and you see it in college all the time. I don't know if you guys went to college, but when I went, there were kids that were 18 who were going out to parties, and they never drank before. They never kissed a girl before. They never did this. I was lucky enough to experience, like, blacking out on the Constitution Beach in East Boston at 14 years old. I was taking Fireball
out of the way.
I was chasing Fireball with Bud Light at 15. So I got those hard lessons over with early, which is why I think it kind of paved the way for me. By the time I got to college, I was a lot more mentally matured than a lot of people. But, you know, it's not a knock. It's from where I grew up, and it all ties back to Boston and the city. Like, it's just a different atmosphere and breed out here, I would say. So yeah, I've been blessed to be around a lot of mature and older people, and I've learned my lessons early on, where now I'm 22 and I'm on a big stage. I'm on a big platform where everyone sees my shit constantly every day, millions of people. So that's something you're going to be careful with on social media. You know, you can't act like a fucking moron, say certain things, and, you know, you get fucking canceled like that. You got to be careful. You got to keep up your image. So I've been blessed.
How do you keep yourself, like, grounded to, like, not get sucked in by the fame and, like, everyone saying Tommy's the fucking best.
We love
this kid.
I've been, I'm a humble person, you know, and I think
I can tell.
That's a very, it's a great trait to have, and I've learned it so much over the last year. I guess just the way I am, you know, my personality, being humbled constantly by my parents and my family, but I don't need to be humbled. Like, that's just something I've always had. I was never like a cocky person, an arrogant person. I mean, you could even say confident. Like, I deal with self-confidence a lot. Like, sometimes I'm like, oh, maybe my, like, when I see, like, negative comments or people DMing me, like, here and there, like, saying shit, I'm like, oh, am I actually funny? Do I suck? But I'm like, I always have that constant support and drive of people where I'm like, okay, yeah, I know I'm the shit, but I'm not shit either. You know what I mean? Like, that's a good attitude to have. I know, like, I'm important to a lot of people, but I also know, like, I can lose it any second. So that's kind of why I always keep my foot on the gas pedal. And, you know, this is my full-time job now. So I'm always looking to get exposure, expand, and make connections as much as I can. So it's been a great experience. It's been a big learning curve the last year, but I'm just getting started, so I'm excited to see what the future holds.
That's the cool thing.
And yeah. who are you some of your biggest influences? Who do you look up to for inspiration?
Fuck, I know people always ask me that.
Good question.
Yeah, it is a good question. I've always loved, and this goes to kind of the canceling thing, but I love Bill Burr. He never got canceled, obviously,
he's uncanceled.
I don't know if I spoke to you about this or Jay Fine, but. Have you seen like his Philly rant when he was doing the stand up in Philly, and like he was saying the craziest shit that I can't say on this podcast, but you can go look it up on your own.
He might get canceled. It's bad.
He was saying some borderline like racist and homophobic stuff, but like this was in 2012. But even so, it's kind of recent, you know, like. Back in like the early 2000s and 90s, you can say a lot of that shit and get away with it. But he's someone I kind of look up to because he's always kind of walked that line. He's always kind of said stuff without saying it. I think anyone that just kind of got out of this area, honestly, I'm not a huge Barstool guy. I love Barstool, but Dave Portnoy, like the way he's been able to grow that brand and like be himself, keep that same mindset of like, fuck what anyone thinks. I'm going to say whatever I want, but still be a celebrity. Like, that's something I look up to. That is fucking so sick to me. But yeah, I guess I don't have like anyone crazy off the top of my head where I'm like looking up to them. But in terms of celebrities, I would say like Portnoy or Bill Burr, the Wahlbergs, and just in my personal life, like my parents, my sister, my brother, like they've all made it out of the city. They're all successful. And my mom works 4 jobs. My dad's a mail carrier his whole life. So they're both blue collar. So the main motivation for me is to eventually make a lot of money and give back. Cause I really want to help them out because they fucking dealt with me the last 22 years. I still live at home, dude. So yeah. I want to get the fuck out of my house, but like, exactly. I'm paying off loans. Yep. I have a nice family and a house to live in. So I'm like, I'm in no fucking rush.
Yeah, don't force it.
But that's something I want to do eventually is give back to them because they've done so much for me. And I learn more as I get older and as I see the world. And like, now I'm paying off my loans on my own. I'm paying my car bill, my phone bill. Like, I'm looking at places to move out to. It's like, I really appreciate what the fuck they've provided for me.
Yeah.
You don't see that until you get to a certain point in life.
Yeah. No one really knows like how awesome it is to have a good family like supporting you until you don't have it, you know what I mean?
Right,
like, you see other people in different situations where you're like, dude, I don't know how they got themselves out of that or like have such a positive mindset, and you really are appreciative of.
And I've been lucky enough to have 2 good parents. They're still married, and you know, there's some people that lose parents or they lose family members and they're in a lot worse situations than I am. Like some of my friends, like my close friends, like their parents weren't there for them, but they have lives where they're like set up now because they worked for it and they kept their head down, and you know, they just said fuck you to everyone else and did their thing. So that's my motivation, man. It's I want to be in a place 5-10 years from now where I can be living comfortably on my own and give back to my family. That's the main goal. And I think that's a invaluable trait that I have just growing up in the city and having the family and the people around me that I had, even though we didn't go on, you know, vacations to Boca Raton every month, like some people did that I met in college. It's still like such an invaluable lesson to have at such a young age. And you learn it more and more as you grow up and get older. So I've been blessed to have that. But in college, I met some kids that legit had like a gas card, like their parents would Venmo them money to go out and drink. And I'm like, how the fuck do you?
I mean, yeah, some of my friends are the kids that do vacation in Boca Raton. So like, I'm going to Germany with them in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Lovely, Chris. I did get to go to vacations in Aruba.
Yeah, we'll take the vacation when we can.
Every now
and then. But they weren't paying for me to boost.
So right. if you don't have like a main point of inspiration, then who would be just someone you'd want to work with in the social media game or creative aspect?
I would love to work with Barstool. That would be so sick. Like I said, I would
anyone
never
in particular.
I guess like I love Spittin' Chiclets. But I'm I feel like I'm in a unique lane where I do kind of like the stuff that I do is unique, where I'm like the Boston personality, you know? So I think working with anyone like who I love, I got into recently is the Full Send guys. I think their fucking show is hilarious.
There we go.
I love like fucking, obviously a lot of people speak in different ways about Bob Menery, because I don't know, he's been all over the place, but I think he's funny. I think Kyle's funny. I think they would be hilarious. Steve's a fucking beast. I watch.
Don't get him started.
I'm a huge Full Send dude. So, pandemic wise, right. They blew up, and Happy Dads, I'm drinking it all. I buy their merch right. Like a fucking loser.
And I never really followed Barstool, Full Send, any of those big groups until recently when I started getting bigger. Because I was like, all right, let me see how these guys do their thing. And to see Steve giving away just like millions, it's Tesla's crazy. Money, like you got guys like Dave Dobrik and shit giving away fucking Teslas to people. It's like, I want to get to a point where I can give back and like change people's lives like that. Like that would be sick. But yeah, man, in terms of content, I just want to work with genuine people, you know, like I want to work with good people. I had the pleasure of connecting with Jared Karabas, he covers the Red Sox. He just left Barstool for DraftKings, and I just randomly connected with him on Instagram because I saw that he was following me, and I always knew of Jared. I never really, like I said, I never really followed Barstool like that, but I DM'd him. I was like, yo, like I'm a fan of your shit. Like we should connect. And we literally got lunch at Kowloon one day in Saugus.
That's his spot.
And it was in the process of him leaving Barstool, and he was like, yo, like I want to work with someone around here. Like I love your shit. Like we should do something together. So he's been like kind of a mentor to me in a way. I don't even know if he knows that, but just chilling with him. Like I see him once or twice every week now because we're working on potentially launching a podcast together. I don't want to spoil too much, but he's been someone just hearing his story, his point of view, and having like someone that's actually from the Boston and was in the same exact situation that I'm in fucking skyrocket. And he's doing very well for himself now. I think he's like 10 years older than me. So we were looking back at his old YouTube videos when he was like 21, 22 and how he grinded to get where he is now. I think that's so inspiring to me. It's very unique to have someone that's in the same situation as you to really skyrocket up and get advice from them. And he literally said to me, he was like, dude, like you're ahead of me where I was at this point. And like, he's like, I have the blueprint to not fuck it up. So I'll help you not fuck it up.
Yeah.
So he's been great for me. I built a team around me of smart, business savvy individuals. My agent Nick has been a blessing. I linked up with him a few months ago. He played for New England Revolution. He signed at 18, and then just for some personal things he was dealing with, he ended up retiring at like 20, 21. But he retired, and he had like, you know, 10, 20K in his bank account, but he put it all into a couple businesses. He launched a business, sold it, and now he has a very successful soccer training program that's doing very well. And he's also a sports agent, so he represents pro soccer players. And he reached out to me randomly, I think it was like January, and he was like, hey, I want to get into the social media space. Like, I'm doing pretty well, but I want to venture off into a different avenue. So, and that's another interesting thing I learned too, is representing influencers and representing athletes is kind of like almost the same thing. There's a lot of parallels you can draw from it because, you know, if you're pitching a deal for an athlete to a, you know, sports organization, it's almost like pitching a deal for an influencer to a company. So that's why he's really thrived with me. And we've secured some big deals over the last few months. That's kind of set me up for the year. And, you know, I have a good full-time income now from it because of him.
Oh, yeah. I just saw you just signed with Donkeys, and shout out Donkeys, drinking the ice coffee. Shout out Donkeys.
No, tell us more about that. That has been a big thing on like your Instagram. Like,
drink
with them, maybe, or that's you're trying to get that.
So, I mean, that would be a fucking
people helping
dream.
You
that's
out.
A dream.
That would
be
I see
dream.
The
that, is, that would be sick.
Yeah, so Donkeys.
What is the Tommy TikTok drink?
I get a cold brew black, bro. But I'm like, if I ever get a drink, I have to do something crazy. Like, maybe we'll do like cold brew black with a little brandy in it. I don't know. I think that might be illegal.
Can they sell Bailey's at
that
Donkeys?
Would be but the Donkeys deal. Yeah, so I obviously have been trying to party with them for so fucking long. But again, it just comes down to I didn't have the network. And I didn't have the support for the longest time. I didn't have the team behind me. I didn't have a team behind me until probably like December, January about. And once I got that team behind me, they helped me network with people who had connections to Dunkin', the corporate offices, the emails. Because if you're just DMing Dunkin' on Instagram like I fucking was the last year, they're not going to see that or they're not going to care to respond. You know, you got to do shit more professionally if you want to work with a big corporate company like that. Luckily, I got a few emails that I could email, and I emailed them all. I emailed like four people, like kind of just presented myself and saying, hey, like, I love your brand. Like, I'd love to work with you. Didn't hear back from them for like 2 weeks. Emailed the four people again. Didn't hear back from like another week. And I was like, oh, whatever. I'm not going to work with them. And then randomly, like another week after that, so probably like 6 weeks from the initial email, I finally got one person to respond back and say, hey, I'll connect you with this person. we go. And that's just all it is, bro. It's connectors, people that connect you to other big people. And I got a Zoom call with them, and turns out the social media girl knows who I am. She lives in Southie, actually. And she was like, "We've seen your content for a while, blah, blah, blah. Like, we'd love to work with you." And I'm like, "Why the fuck haven't you reached out to me?" Know. But I mean, think about it. If someone's promoting your stuff for free, you're not going to reach out to them with thousands of dollars to pay them, you know? Exactly. So luckily I built a good relationship with them.
Good point. You got to siphon your Dunkies content, I mean, so they have to pay you the bag.
I see. You know what I mean? One in every video. So
we had a good first interview, and then I brought my agent in, and we negotiated a short-term deal because, you know, I mean, think about it. They're not going to just offer you a fat bag of cash right off the bat. They want to see some value first. Obviously, my videos speak for themselves. So we set up like a 5-video deal. I think it ends end of June. So once I finish those videos, and the first 2 videos have already blown up pretty well, I think once I show some value with those videos, we can set up a long-term contract and, you know, really get paid. So that's going to be huge. But yeah, that's kind of it's a great company to be connected with. Anytime 100%. You can be connected with a big company like Dunkin', like, that's optics-wise, that looks so good.
And local, yeah. It was 2 brothers that started the company. Mm-hmm. Both, I think, I don't know where they're from. I think they might be from Brookline originally, but the first one was in Quincy. My dad used to do the plumbing for all the Dunkies originally when they had like 10 stores. So right. Just like, you know.
I think that's my main goal too right now, at least in my career, because I'm in no rush. Like, obviously, I want to make my money, but I want to build a foundation of, you know, a good network of people locally, you know, because like I said before, a lot of my content is Boston niche, Massachusetts niche, New England, whatever you want to call it. I want to build a foundation of good local companies and good relationships, because the Boston market is untapped, but there are like 4 or 5 major companies that really run the space. You know, you have like Boston Beer Company. They run like the big alcohols there. Obviously, like the sports teams, you have like the venues, like the Garden. Like, I would love to work with like TD Garden or like a sports team. Like, that would be so sick. My all-time like dream, or like my goal, I'll know like, fuck, I made it, is like when, you know, like when people, big celebrities go to like Bruins or Celtics games, they're on the Jumbotron with like their name. Yeah. I'm like, once I'm courtside at a Celtics game and they're like, "Tommy Guarino's here." That's when I'll be like, "Yep, I fucking made it. I made it." That's like my all-time goal.
When you were saying like working with them, the only thing I could imagine with that is Cousin Stiz was actually the voice of the Celtics 2 years ago. Like, I feel like you have a good, like, almost broadcasting voice where that might be like a good avenue to hit.
What do you mean the voice?
So like literally it'd be like, like in between like timeouts and periods, would be like, "Stand up, Boston," like, or like walking into it.
That's sick.
That would be so, like, before videos, hype up shit. Like, that'd be a good.
But even someone like him, it's he's a local dude. I'm a huge fan of Cousin Stiz.
Love Cousin Stiz.
He's kind of LA now. Like, he's back and forth, but I think he's more in LA. But even seeing him, and he's huge, but it kind of puts it in perspective where I'm like, it's attainable. You know, he's not like Post Malone, you know, like, that's what I mean. Like, Boston's so small that, like, if you just get up there and you're close to rubbing shoulders with those guys, like, you'll get there. So
even Bia, too.
Yeah, like, she's working with J. Cole now.
That song nasty. Slaps.
I'm in London.
Dude, I fuck with Bia. Right. That's my crush, too. Shout out Bia.
Yeah, she's awesome.
And also, shout out Drew Tats, who is Cousin Sis' personal tattoo artist.
And you're a personal
tattoo. And my personal tattoo artist.
You have to connect me with him, bro.
Oh, he's really the best in Boston. It's unbelievable. He just did Celtics players and stuff.
Where's he out of?
He is a private studio. Okay. I'll tell you off camera.
Yeah, but dude, I think like this kind of goes back to your whole inspiration question. I think my inspiration just comes from anyone that made it out of Boston, you know?
When you say made it out, like you're saying like made it, because I was just going to say, it's funny, they all have
they
left.
All fucking
They've
leave.
All left.
And that's kind of where I want to separate myself, yeah, I guess.
You like, want to stay?
I mean, the weather here fucking sucks, but I think my all-time dream is to, like, you know, stay in New England. I want to stay, hopefully, in Boston and have a house there. Like, my all-time dream is to have vacation houses in different places, you know, like a house in LA, Miami. That's long-term, but, you know, just to get the
fuck
out
of lose you. That's when Tommy will officially be lost
Boston,
in the sauce.
There's
of
nothing better than a Boston spring, fall, and summer. Like, the winters here are the fucking worst. They're 9 months long. Yeah, I'd love to have a Florida house for that. Mm-hmm. But here in the summertime, like, the environment, everyone's fucking rip roaring. The first day it turns 60 in Boston, people have shorts on. Like,
yeah.
If anyone from
LA
came
tomorrow? Well, tomorrow's going to be really
good. This weekend's going to be fucking gorgeous.
Yeah. And I think, like, I always want to be in, because the love and support I get from people here is like nowhere else. I don't think I would get this love and support from people in LA or New York or fucking Florida, you know? So I always want to be stationed here, but I would love to, you know, travel. I would love to travel.
I think the respect level for you will be higher and higher the longer you stay here and build your career here. I mean, eventually you will have to like move around
branch
and do stuff like you say, but the more you, I mean, and you seem very Boston focused. Like, you don't want to leave.
Which my whole most people, here.
When they get your kind of success, are like, I'm out.
No, I mean, my whole family's here, and again, that just comes from my roots. You know, like I've grown a love for the city, the sports, everything, and I never want to be like. I don't want to be looked at as a sellout. I don't think I ever will, just because I grew up here and I'm going to stay here as long as I can. But in terms of like leaving, I would only leave to like collaborate or work. If I had to work somewhere else, that's completely different. But my business is here right now. You know, I don't see my business leaving here anytime soon. I mean, you never know with social media. Anything can happen overnight. Fucking Portnoy might hit me up, be like, hey, come out to New York and work at the office. That would be the fucking dream.
I think he's
going
to come back here to you.
That would be amazing.
I think that's coming in the line. The New York office is going to be done soon.
I heard rumors.
There's
about
a Chicago thing happening. Mm-hmm. He's in Miami, but if Boston gets his gambling thing a little quicker, he's coming back, and you'll be right where you said.
It'll definitely happen over time. And hopefully, I just grow bigger and bigger. You know, and maybe it gets his attention. And the thing is, too, it's like it's crazy because you know you can. Social media is not a guaranteed thing. Like, you can lose it all like that. Yeah. That's why I'm always constantly grounded and humble, because I never want to stop working until I know it's a sure thing. And even then, I won't want to stop working because there's always sailings to break through. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'll never stop working. And like, if someone like fucking Portnoy or anyone big hit me up and was like, hey, I want you to come work for me, I would take fucking a cheap ass price and just work my fucking ass off, because so many people just expect things to be given to you, which is like another valuable lesson I learned young. Like, nothing's ever given to you, man. Like, I learned money doesn't grow on trees at a very young age, which is, you know, a blessing. So we'll see what happens. I know, like, I'm important to a lot of people. I'm very big in this area, but I also know, like, I can lose it all in a second, and I'm humble. I'm not the shit, you know. I never had that attitude, so I'm just trying to keep that attitude, keep my head down and work, and
you're
see
doing
what
it
happens.
Right.
Yeah,
you're doing it right. Like, as long as that attitude stays right, I think it's the moon for you.
Most definitely. You know? I'm excited to see what the future holds.
So, I think that's a good note to end it there.
I did want to ask one. I was reading your article from the Boston Man thing. Shout out Boston Man magazine.
Shout out Boston Man.
Like, the whole talk with you, and I relate with the 9-to-5 or the work for a union, or like, that's just what life is. And you got, some of us got dreams. I mean, obviously we do if we're in this
studio. I think everyone has dreams.
Yeah,
right?
But people give up on them is what I should say.
Right.
At a young age or an older age. Like, I'm 30 right now and I still am like, I can't do that 9-to-5, 40-hour union stuff, just because like, it doesn't get me going.
No, and I think that's kind of growing up around here, it's kind of pounded in your head like that's the route you have to take, you know, or go to college and fucking get drowned in loans and hopefully get a job after college. But yeah,
so are you gonna say to like the people who are like us stealing ass? We've been grinding 3 years,
dude.
Things
have
popped off. We've had things happen. I've fought in Rough and Rowdy. Lots of we've had.
Did you
great
fight in
guests.
Rough and Rowdy?
I did. Yeah,
that's
against
unreal.
My little brother and the one with Lights on Lang. This was like 2-3 years
thing.
Ago. Yeah, that was like my fucking peak moment for me getting to get to in front of Portnoy and Big Cat and them.
I would say just consistency, man. Like, you guys have obviously been consistent, and it's tough when you're, and it's hard for me to kind of relate to people that have been grinding for years and haven't seen crazy progress, because like with TikTok for me, it kind of blew up overnight, right? But and I think I'm learning it more and more every day, because my TikTok hasn't grown crazy since it hit the million. Like, I'm at like 1.2 now. So the last 7-8 months, like, I've only grown like 200K, and it's like only 200K. But on TikTok, it's not like as much, you know, and at the growth rate I was growing at. So I've learned more. Like, you just got to keep your head down and stay consistent, man. And I think the main thing I learned the last 6 months, really 3 months, is networking, connecting, and providing value. You know, if you, the more connections and the more you can branch out and do different things and provide value to people, people are going to help you out. You know, you got to build good relationships with people. And that's kind of what happened with me. Like, recently I started a Snapchat show, and it was only because this guy,
the Deets.
Yeah. Check it out on Snapchat, the Deets. And it's completely different from anything I'm doing, sort of. But the only reason it fell into my lap is because I made a good relationship over a year ago with this random guy that hit me up to do videos on Facebook. He hit me up to do like these prank videos on Facebook, and I wasn't really into it, but we built a good relationship from it. And then in February, I got a random phone call. I didn't even have his number saved. And I was like, hey, who's this? And he was like, oh, it's Tyler. That's his name. And he was like, yeah, I'm working with Snapchat now. Like, I have this show. Like, I think you should try it out. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, you know, like, is it, I mean, straight up, like, is it gonna pay me? Because I don't have money. I don't have time to waste, you know? So he was like, let's just meet up in person and we'll talk. So he was talking to me, and he has creators making like a lot of money per month. So I was like, okay, that number jumped out to me. So I tried it out a little bit. I did it for the month of March. I think it was like one episode a week. So each episode takes me about 3-4 hours. So it's like 3-4 hours a week. And then I got my March earnings in April. And when I saw that number, I was like, holy shit. And it's like, I have a good monthly income from Snapchat. I think that's where my main source of income is right now. And I'm blessed to have that. But it all came from a simple phone conversation I had, building a relationship and kind of just like checking in on them, saying, hey, what's up? What's going on? And that's what happens, man.
That's good advice.
And we talked about when you said like, say yes for everything almost.
Exactly.
Like, when you're saying yes to stuff, necessarily that thing you said yes to doesn't have to work out. Like you said, it can be something that later down the line, that person that you said yes to and tried and showed that effort, it'll just slowly like come, like you said, come full circle, come back to you.
Even like, yeah, like even when I get invited out to events, like, right, like I have a couple events coming up, but that I usually probably would have said no to. Like I have a golf charity tournament. I love golf, but I'm not like a big tournament guy because I suck. And then I have like another dinner to go to. Usually I would say no to those two things, but I literally, like, for example, this company I'm working with, he invited me to a Celtics game. He's going to be like, it's a jerky company, like beef jerky company. Okay. I was like, okay, like we can work together, but I don't know what we're going to do. But he was like, hey, come to the Celtics game. Like I have some connections over there. And I was like, all right. This was like back in January. So I went to the game with him. We ended up sitting in box seats and I ended up connecting with like one of the big guys at Bushmill Whiskey, which is like a huge whiskey company, because he just recognized me. He's like, I love your videos. And I got his number and now I'm building a relationship with them. And they're a big company with a lot of money. So hopefully we get something going soon. But just simple things like that. Like you never know who's going to be in the right place at the right time or like at, in the same event or whatever it is like that you're in. Like, for example, Kings of Combat, like who knows who will show up there and like come show support. Fucking maybe a local celebrity or someone with money is in the same area. And they're like, hey, I'm going to go check out this local boxing thing. So I think really just opportunism, saying yes to everything, building good relationships and staying consistent. Those are the main three things.
I'll add, stay out of your comfort zone or get out of your comfort
zone.
That's
another thing I touched on too. That's a
big one. Like sometimes you don't want to go to that event and you're like, I don't feel like I'm not comfortable with these people. I don't know these people, but you said you got to be there.
Because I told you.
And doing stuff like this, getting on the video, staying with it.
Yeah. No, anything, anyone can see this, right? So it's like, maybe people see this and I've been told this before, like, you know, like, and you even said, like, I have a good attitude, I have a good mindset. So that's very valuable to companies if they see that, you know, like this kid's not cocky. He wants to work for little money to show value. And that's completely cool. But I would say getting out of your comfort zone is huge. I talk about that a lot in the article. If you want to check out the article, link's in my bio, but check that out because I deep dive a lot into it. But that's the main thing with starting my whole social media is I just got out of my comfort zone. You know, I wasn't comfortable with putting my fucking self out there.
It's kind of step one if you're going to get in this world. 100%. The rest is all good advice, but step one is like,
the basic surface level advice, like the most basic thing is not giving a fuck what people think about you. Because no one, I hate to break it to people, but no one gives a fuck that much.
You're not that cool, pal.
You're not that cool, pal.
We all care about ourselves more than, you know.
You're not that guy, pal. You're not that guy.
Trust me.
But I think that's number one is you gotta ditch that mindset of people are going to talk shit about me. People are going to comment this, DM me this, say this. Because honestly, when people are doing that, it's just because they're insecure and they're trying to fill a gap in themselves. But it's also like when they're saying this shit, it's not like they're 24 hours a day thinking, this guy fucking sucks. He's a fucking pussy. Fuck this guy.
It's
moving quick. Like, oh, this is cringy. Let me comment. This sucks.
Magic Mike's a loser.
And like you said, because I was going to ask, like, how do you deal with a lot of the negative comments? But you said like, a lot of the stuff that people are saying online also, they're not going to say in person to you.
No.
So, like, if someone's like, oh, like, you got a fake fucking Boston accent. You sound like a fucking loser. And then, like, they see you in person, like, what up, Tommy? Like, fucking love you.
Every single time.
You know what I mean?
Every single time.
Plus, for every negative comment, that overwhelming positive ones that you get, got the guy, like, you fucking inspired me to get going on this. That's way more important than the guy who says you just suck.
95% of the comments are positive in the DMs. And there's that 5% that, like, you know, they're trying to just shit on you. But again,
if they're trying to bring you down, it only means you're above them. You know what I mean?
Right. And again, that's like being humble and being like from Eastie, from Boston. Like, you know, I value people's opinions and that's kind of something I dealt with in the beginning. Like I had some friends that didn't agree with what I was doing, that didn't like it. Like maybe like one or two kids that I had some, like not beef, but like, you know, just like I heard people saying shit that I grew up with when I was first growing on TikTok that almost made me stop. Like I talk about that in the article too. Like I really was close to not doing this because I was like, fuck, like, why are people upset that I'm doing this? Why do people, but then I'm like, why does it matter? You know, like, are they providing value in my life? No, some of these people I haven't talked to since I graduated high school. So
yeah. A lot of people get scared that you might make it. Like
and I don't know why. I feel like that should be motivation to people.
Before he makes it to fucking the fame and fortune.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like that's the difference, like, of mm-hmm. what people feel when people are like, oh, fucking pissed about it. Right. But, like, at the same time, you're like, I'm trying to do it so everyone else can fucking do it. Like,
that's why I like, coming on here and kind of telling my story a little bit, giving my point of view. Like, I don't want people thinking I'm making videos saying, hey, I'm better than you. Here's my fucking Boston accent. Fuck you. Like, no, I'm highlighting funny shit that happens in Boston or hockey, whatever it may be. And I'm hoping to make it out so you can see that you're in a similar situation as me. You can fucking do it too if you want. And that's kind of what I touched on with the whole 9-to-5 union stuff. Those are very respectable jobs. I respect anyone that is in the union, is working a 9-to-5 and grinding for their money. But I just want people to know, like, you don't have to commit to that at 21 years old.
Right.
You know, you can get out of your comfort zone and try to do little side hustles or whatever you can do. Even if, like I said, if it's a half hour before you go to bed every night, mm-hmm. just grind at whatever you want to grind at. And eventually you'll build a fucking house.
So same thing. Like, a lot of the people don't understand. You should have a 9-to-5. To pay for your 5-to-9,
right.
For your 5-to-9, to pay for your 365.
Right.
It's a very simplistic idea.
Wow, that is a great
get money to pay for your hobbies.
Gary definitely said that this morning.
Someone said it. I'm a walking sponge for motivational quote videos.
Did you see that quote, bro?
I love that. I love that.
I think that was on
G-Money. He's a very motivating dude. He keeps all of us going.
You have to, bro. You got to stay at it. And, you know, motivation fades away. It's drive, though. You know, that's what really takes you. And that's something I've developed over the last year and a half doing this is the drive for it. Cause like, dude, there's days where I don't want to fucking make videos. There's days where I'm like, fuck this. Like, what if it doesn't work out? But I'm like, I'm in a great spot right now. I think right now is probably the most like comfortable I've been doing this because like I have some stuff lined up. I have money coming in, which is great. So it's the first time it's felt like a job the last few months, you know, like this is my full-time job now. I dropped out of college. I think the first month after I dropped out, like I didn't really have anything coming in and I was like, oh fuck, like am I joining Massport at the end of the year? But then stuff started lining up. The relationships I built in the past started coming back again. And now I'm set up. I'm pretty set up
right now. You're in momentum mode right now.
Very, very. I'm in like a flow state right now, which is great.
That's where you want to be.
Well, let's keep it going. Tommy, thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much, bro. Good to talk to you.
Anytime, boys. Thanks for having me on. And good luck with the show, boys.
I'll see you again soon.
Thank you.